Our scripture reading this morning is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yeah, we all are familiar with that famous quote from Romeo and Juliet. What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. So what is in a name? You know, I think often today we think a name really isn't very important. It's a symbolic expression. You know, there are so many different languages. One thing is called one thing in one language, and it has another name in another language. What does it matter? We have a tendency, when faced with the many different words in different languages, and English has many different words for the same thing that foreigners learn when they come here, we think, you know, maybe ABC is just as good as XYZ. What's the difference? But actually, it's not that simple. Names and the words we call things do have meaning and do have significance. And I think we have found that with some humorous examples in our contemporary society with the, you know, politically correct movement. And, you know, some of the sillier examples, of course, are we're now to call a garbage man a sanitary engineer. And if you're short, you're vertically challenged. And if you're a housewife, you're a domestic engineer. Everybody gets to be an engineer. Now, personally, I am horizontally challenged, and I suffer from a follicle deficiency. In other words, I'm fat and bald. So the names that we choose do have some significance and do mean something. And when you read the scriptures, you particularly see that. Sometimes we miss it not knowing the Hebrew, but Eve, her name means living in Hebrew because she was the mother of all living. Now, Abram, his name originally meant exalted father, but it was changed to Abraham, meaning father of a multitude, because God promised to give him descendants beyond counting. And we're his spiritual descendants right here today. Isaac was called by a name meaning he laughed, because Abraham laughed at the prospect of God granting him a son through Sarah at their advanced age. Now, Yaakov, meant deceiver. And it's a word derived from the word ekev, meaning the heel of the foot. Remember, he was born with his twin Esau grasping at the heel of his foot. Esau, well, his name means hairy, and he indeed was hairy, as we know from the story. And, of course, we are very familiar that Jacob's name was changed to Yisrael, because he wrestled with this mysterious figure in Genesis 32. Interestingly enough, that name Yisrael means he who has wrestled or struggled with God. And the place where that happened was renamed Peniel, meaning face of God, because Jacob said, I saw God face to face, yet my life was spared. It seems like that mysterious figure that Jacob wrestled with had to be the Lord himself somehow coming and manifesting himself in a way that Jacob could wrestle with him. Now, I like that that's one of the main sports ever mentioned in the Bible, because I was a wrestler, so God was a wrestler too, apparently. So, Jacob changed to Israel, he who has struggled with God. And God's name itself has power and authority. It represents him and identifies exactly who he is. Names often did that, you know. People with a family name Baker come from a line of bakers. If you're Russian and your name is Plotnik, it means carpenter. And it means that somebody in your genealogy of the past was a carpenter, and that name stuck. And Jewish names have significance. You probably are familiar with Jewish names Levi, Levin, Levit, Lewis, and so on. Well, people with those names are descended from the tribe of Levi. And people with names like Cohen, Khan, Kahani, and so on come from the priestly family of the Kohanim. They are of the family of Aaron. And as a matter of fact, in the synagogue, you have to know whether somebody is a Cohen, a priest, a Levite, or an Israelite in terms of inviting them up to read. I was visiting a synagogue one time, and the rabbi came to me and said, "Are you a priest, a Levite, or an Israelite?" And I knew what he was asking and why he was asking it. And I said, "Rabbi, I'm a goy. I'm a Gentile." So he knew I wasn't going to be invited up to the podium. God's name, of course, is very powerful. His name, we don't know exactly how to pronounce it, probably Yahweh is the most accurate. We see it also rendered Jehovah, and that's probably not accurate because there really isn't a J sound in Hebrew, and it comes from the vowels put in. It's a complicated thing in the Old Testament, but there are vowels for the word Lord that are put in the text, and so that there's a confusion, and it came out Jehovah, but there's no J. But the meaning of the name Yahweh is what's important. It means he is, basically. I am, you remember, God told Moses, "I am who I am. Tell them I am sent you." And so that name of God, Yahweh, means the one who is eternally self-existent. He simply is. He had no beginning. He had no end. He simply is. He's all-powerful, eternally existent. In the old days, if you commanded somebody in the name of the king, it meant that you were the king's emissary and you came with the authority of the king. God, you see, sends out the prophets to speak in his name. God sent Moses to speak in his name. Moses, by the way, means drawn out. And that's because he was drawn out of the River Nile. God said through Moses, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." That's how important the name of God is. If you misuse it, you're guilty. Biblically, that name carries great significance and demonstrates who the true God is. God said to Pharaoh, "I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." The purpose for the Exodus and what God did in judging Egypt, judging Pharaoh, delivering Israel out of Egypt, was for the purpose that his name might be proclaimed in all the earth. God told Israel, do not swear falsely by my name, and so profane the name of the Lord your God. Anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be put to death, and the entire assembly must stone him, whether an alien or native born. When he blasphemes the name, he must be put to death. That's how seriously God took taking his name and blaspheming it. God said of Aaron and his sons that when they pronounce the benediction, they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. And the benediction that I always give in Hebrew at the end, that's the benediction it's talking about, where the name of God is being put upon his people. You might notice I put my hands like this. Well, this stands for the Hebrew letter Shin and symbolizes Shaddai, one of the names of God, El Shaddai, and God's name being put upon his people. That's why that hand gesture is like that. If you're a Star Trek fan, maybe you recognize Mr. Spock saying live long and prosper. Well, it happens that Leonard Nimoy is from a Jewish background, from a Levitical family, maybe even I think he's a Kohanim. And so he took what he knew from the synagogue and he took just one hand of it and made it into the live long and prosper symbol. A little Star Trek info there for Trekkies. If Israel disobeyed God, it meant that they failed to revere his name because his name was upon them. They belonged to him. They're called Israel, those who have struggled with God. You see, their name is on them. And so Israel was commanded that they needed to sanctify the name. And there's a word for that in Jewish tradition. It's called Kiddush. Sanctify Hashem, sanctify the name. And it's a central tenet in Judaism and very important. You must suffer martyrdom, as a matter of fact, rather than transgress even a minor principle of the law in public, it said, because doing that brings disgrace upon the name. Kiddush Hashem, sanctify the name of the Lord. If one fails to sanctify the name and commits the opposite of sanctifying the name, it's called Hillul Hashem, profaning the name of God. And that idea of Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying the name, was taken so far in a kind of a legalistic extreme that among religious Jews, in order to avoid profaning the name of God, it wasn't mentioned at all. And as a matter of fact, in the Hebrew Bible, every place that four-letter name of God, called the Tetragrammaton, takes place, the Hebrew scribes had something in English that you'd call the you read this, but you say this instead. Okay, and so instead of actually saying the name Yahweh, they were to say Adonai. And so the vowels, Adonai means Lord, so the vowels for Adonai were put in the Hebrew text, and that's where people come up with things like Jehovah. It's got the wrong vowels, though, because you're not supposed to pronounce the name. And as a matter of fact, that's why we don't really completely know exactly how to pronounce the name, because they stopped pronouncing the name, and we don't even know the right vowels for it, because the Hebrew text has had that say this instead of that in it. And so Orthodox Jews don't even say the name, they don't say name Lord, they don't say Yahweh for sure, but they don't even say Adonai, which means Lord. Instead, you would say simply Hashem, the name. And so religious Jews, instead of saying praise the Lord, would say Baruch Hashem, blessed is the name, because the name is so holy, we can't even say the name, we just say Hashem. And you even come up with kind of weird things. Instead of saying Adonai, Lord, they say Adoshem, which is sort of a word combining the word Lord and the word name. So it's sort of it's a strange Hebrew word. Adoshem simply means the Lord, but you don't want to actually say the Lord. So God's name is sanctified among ultra-religious Jews, and in all Jewish tradition, really, by not even saying the name at all. That's how much you sanctify the name. So it's kind of ironic that the name of God, Yahweh, became sanctified by avoiding it altogether. Became so holy, we don't even know how to say it. But there's another name which is avoided among Jewish people in general, and in an ironic way, it's also sanctified by its refusal to be mentioned. And that's the name Jesus, or Yeshua in Hebrew. Now that name, Yeshua, which is how Jesus' mother Miriam would have said his name, and his adopted father Yosef and his contemporaries would have called him Yeshua, which is the Aramaic style of Joshua. It's really the same name as Joshua. And of course, the word that we use, Jesus, is the anglicized Greek form of the name Joshua. And that name generally is forbidden to be mentioned in Jewish households. My associate in ministry is a fellow named Rick Anderson, who works with me, and Rick's from a conservative Jewish background. And he said, growing up, he asked who Jesus is, and he was told he was one of ours, and we didn't kill him, and we don't talk about him. And that was the end of the conversation. I have another very good friend who spent many years as a missionary to Jewish people from a Jewish family, and my friend told me this story. Some of you might know him. Does anybody know Mitch Treisman? Anybody know Mitch Treisman? Anybody know him? He served the Lord in Northeast Philly. Mitch told me one day, he was about 5 years old, and one of his playmates said to him, "Mitch, do you know that Jesus loves you?" Well, Mitch didn't know who Jesus was, but he was very happy to know that somebody loved him. So he ran home and he told his mother, "Mommy, Mommy, somebody loves me." And his mother, amused by his childish glee, no doubt, looked at him and said, "Tell me, Mitch, who is it? Who loves you?" And my friend bubbled forth, "It's Jesus, Mommy. Jesus loves me." Well, his mother turned ashen white and said to him, "Never mention that name in this house again." But my friend always remembered what his playmate had said and how upset his mother was. And later in life, he was in the army, and somebody shared the gospel with him, and he became a believer in Jesus. And he then served for many decades taking the gospel to the Jewish people. You never know what the witness of a five-year-old will accomplish. Something so simple. Do you know that Jesus loves you? Orthodox Jews literally won't say that name, Jesus. Because in Exodus 23:13 it says, "Be careful to do everything I have said to you. Do not invoke the names of other gods. Do not let them be heard on your lips. And so, you see, don't say that name at all. Yet, there is a minority among the ultra-Orthodox who do have a name they use for Jesus. It's Yeshu. Now, Yeshu is a truncated form of the name Yeshua. And it's actually an acronym for a Hebrew phrase, Yimach Shemo V'Zikro, meaning may his name and memory be blotted out. Which is it then? Is it Yeshua or is it Yeshu? Now, Yeshua, of course, means the salvation of God. Is it a great blessing, Yeshua, the salvation of God, or is it a curse? Yeshu, may his name and memory be blotted out. The name you use for him depends upon what you conclude about him. Either Jesus is the salvation of God, God himself manifested in the flesh to save his people from their sins, or he's an imposter, a false god, one to be rejected and cursed. There's really no middle ground. You can't write off Jesus as barely a good teacher, a prophet, or a wise rabbi. A merely human teacher doesn't say, "Before Abraham was, I am." And when the Judean religious leaders of that day heard him say that, they knew what he meant. And they picked up stones to kill him because they knew he was claiming to be God. That was only one occasion where they were upset with him for claiming to be God. They understood it. You see, Jesus wasn't just some nice teacher of religion. He's either, as some have said, Lord, liar, or lunatic. There's no middle ground, really. Liberals in our Christian community want to say, well, you know, we don't want to say he was literally the Son of God. You know, that's just a figurative saying. And, well, you know, he was a good man, he was a wise man, he was a prophet. We like his teachings. Well, I'm sorry. Either he was God himself, as he claimed, and his teachings, therefore, are the teachings from God himself, or he was a false teacher, he was a liar. And Orthodox Jews are right in saying, may his name be cursed, if he's a false prophet, if he's a false teacher, if he's not God incarnate. You can't have it both ways. It's one or the other. Now, what about that name, Yeshua? Is there any evidence in the Hebrew Bible that the Messiah would be named Yeshua? Do we find that name in the Hebrew Bible? Well, that name, Yeshua, simply means the Lord, Yahweh, is salvation. The Lord is salvation. Actually, the Hebrew word for salvation is Yeshua. It has an H on the end, or the Hebrew letter He at the end. And every time you see that word salvation in the Old Testament, in Hebrew it says Yeshua. Every time. And that's why I read Psalm 96. It talks about declaring his Yeshua, his name, among the nations. What's interesting also is that name Yeshua is simply a form of the name Joshua. And what's the best way I can explain it? You know, in some languages, Theodore is Theodore, right? But it's the same name as Theodore. Okay, it's the exact same name. Maybe in Spanish, I guess you would say Theodore. In English, you say Theodore. But it's the exact same name. Well, Yeshua and Joshua are the exact same name. Okay, just slight variations because of Hebrew versus Aramaic and so on. So the name Joshua is the same name as Jesus. And in fact, Russian Bibles, when they speak of Joshua the son of Nun, he's called Jesus, Jesus the son of Nun. They use exactly the same name for Joshua the son of Nun who came after Moses as they do for Jesus in the New Testament. It's the same word. So Yeshua is simply the same as Joshua, and you have two Yeshuas in the Bible, of course. Yeshua, Joshua son of Nun, and then Yeshua the high priest, who's mentioned in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah after the exile. Now, think about those two Joshuas, those two Yeshuas. Joshua the son of Nun came after Moses and took over leadership of Israel after Moses died. And as you remember, Moses was not able to lead the people into the promised land. Now, he could get a glimpse of it, but God did not permit him to enter the promised land. But along came Joshua, Yeshua, the son of Nun, and he did what Moses, the giver of the law, failed to do. He led people into the promised land and brought the judgment on the Canaanites. God promised a successor to Moses, and he promised that prophets would come after Moses. And God said to Israel, I will raise up a prophet like you among your brothers. And you need to listen, a prophet like Moses among your brothers, and you need to listen to him. But in the same passage, it then says, but there's never appeared a prophet like Moses. Joshua was the prophet like Moses who came next. That Yeshua, that Joshua, son of Nun. It's interesting that he accomplished what Moses, the giver of the law, could not do. And the prophecy that there will be another prophet like unto Moses, but then it says, but there hasn't been one, leaves you kind of looking for yet another, maybe another Joshua, another Yeshua, who will come one day. Is it a coincidence that the name of Moses' successor was Yeshua, same name as Jesus? Or maybe God was hinting at something. So another Yeshua mentioned in Zechariah 3 and Zechariah 6. And that Yeshua is Yeshua the high priest. And it's a very curious passage. And I encourage you to read the book of Zechariah. We're told to take Yeshua the high priest, place him on a throne, and put a crown on his head. And the prophet says, this Yeshua, the high priest, will be a king and a priest together on his throne. And this Yeshua is symbolic of the branch who is coming, who will be a prophet, who will be a priest and a king on his throne at the same time. Well, the branch is a messianic title, you see, because the dynasty of David had been cut down. And prophets began speaking. Isaiah spoke of it, and we see it in Jeremiah, and we see it also in Zechariah, that there's a new shoot or a new branch that's going to spring up from the stump of Jesse, from David's line, you see. When they went into exile, that line of David, that tree was kind of cut down, but God says a new shoot is going to sprout up from that root. And in the prophet Zechariah, it says, Yeshua the high priest of that day was symbolic of the messianic branch who's coming, who will be a priest and a king at the same time. Well, you know, according to the law of Moses, you can't be a priest and a king at the same time. priests have to come from the tribe of Levi. They have to be a Kohen, a Kohanim. Priests have to be from that specific line. The kings have to come from the tribe of Judah and be descendants of David. How can somebody be a priest and a king at the same time? Because that's contrary to the whole Old Testament. Yet, we're told in the prophet Zechariah that this man named Yeshua in that generation is symbolic of the Messiah who's coming, who will be a priest and will also be a king at the same time. Yeshua, meaning salvation. Yeshua, the successor of Moses. Joshua, Yeshua, son of Nun. Yeshua, the high priest, symbolic of the Messiah. Do you think God's giving us a little bit of a hint about who the ultimate priest, king, Messiah, the one who brings us into the promised land is going to be named? I think there's a bit of a hint there. And what better name for the Messiah who came as the salvation of God to offer himself up as our priestly sacrifice to pay for our sins and deliver us to the eternal promised land? You see, he's the ultimate Joshua. He's the ultimate one who can lead us to salvation where the law couldn't get us there. He could get us there as our priest and as our king. Now, what will you do with that name, Yeshua? How will you respond to it? Will you sanctify the name? Or will you profane him as an imposter? Those are the only two choices, really. It's written of him, and we read it at the beginning, at the name of Yeshua, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And we're told that one day all mankind will stand before him and recognize him for who he is, whether they like it or not. They will have to admit that he is the salvation of God. You don't want to be found opposing him, resisting him, or just ignoring him. Ultimately, you can't. But today, he calls all to call on his name and be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Today is the day of salvation. And we're called as God's people to sanctify the name of Yeshua. Then we're called to sanctify the name of Jesus. It upsets me so much when I hear the name of Jesus used as a swear word in movies and on television. You know, there's coarse language that goes on in movies and on TV. Coarse language that in different cultures at different times was considered rude or obscene. But nothing bothers me as much as people taking the name of Jesus and using it as a swear word. And I've got a wonderful doctor. He happens to be a Kohanim. He happens to be from that priestly family. And I love him. He's a wonderful guy. And recently I heard him use Jesus Christ as a swear word. You know, and my reaction when somebody says that, I'll say, it's not his fault. Why are you blaming him? Why are you taking his name that way? I need courage to be a little more bold with my doctor and say, you know, you're a wonderful guy. But you know how offensive that is to people like me. It's upsetting to hear that to me. And that's profaning the name. Will you sanctify the name of Yeshua, the name of Jesus? That's the question for all of us this morning. Will you be set apart yourself and sanctified by his name? And unfortunately, there are many who have named the name of Jesus that have profaned it, by how they treat others. How awful that anybody would be persecuted in the name of Jesus. Yet it's happened throughout history. But yet that name means salvation, and God is our salvation. And if we fail at times to sanctify the name of Jesus, the wonderful thing is that the name sanctifies us and God sanctifies us. And it's because he's the salvation of God that we can be forgiven for our failings and that we can be sanctified, that we can be set apart for God's use. We're sinners by nature. But thank God we read this. Paul wrote, "But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Yeshua, in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, and by the Spirit of our God." Now, speaking to the religious leaders of his day, Simon, Shimon, also known as Peter, he said of Yeshua, "He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven by men, by which men might be saved." No other name that we can be saved through. The leaders commanded Yeshua's followers not to speak or teach at all in his name. But they replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God." Will you obey God or will you obey man? And that's the choice we've been given. Not to speak at all in Jesus' name or to boldly proclaim Yeshua is our salvation. We're called to make his name known, to proclaim his name among the nations. Yeshua told the inhabitants of Jerusalem, "I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Will you join me in saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord"? Together, let's say it. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that the name of Jesus, the name Yeshua, would be sanctified among us in how we live and how we treat our neighbors. And we pray, Lord, for those who ignore the name or won't say the name or use the name of Jesus as a swear word. We pray for them that you'd give us wisdom, that you'd give us love, and you'd give us boldness to say, "You will have to stand before him one day, you know." Lord, we thank you that you sanctify us through the one whose name means salvation. And we thank you that you hear our prayers because we can boldly approach you in his name. Amen.